Okay, let's get cracking. We have lots to do. It is Monday morning. And by the way, it's a short week this week. We've got Human Rights Day on Friday, which is a public holiday, so you don't have to work.
Very good.
Long weekend.
Lots of public holidays coming up.
I know, but I do love them when they're on a Friday or a Monday. It just feels so much tidier. So if you are planning to do anything fun this weekend, let us know about it. Join us in the comments section. And by the way, if you're here already, you may as well just like and subscribe. It's not going to cost you a lot. You could just do it while you're watching these. I'm just going to sit here and give everyone a minute to like and subscribe. Are you ready?
Right.
I'm waiting. There we go. Was that so hard? If you didn't do it, I'll just do this every single show going forward until everybody gets in line. A little bit of discipline on a Monday morning. It won't hurt you. All right, let's get cracking. So a couple of things in the news. We hope the lion tamer guy gets in here because he's apparently, his GPS says, his ETA is.
Computer says no.
Yeah.
Not because he's been held back by an incident.
It's not GPSing.
Yes.
It's telling him that he'll get here at like 5 to 8, which is a bit late.
A little bit, yeah. Usually wrapping up by then.
I just noticed how many acronyms I used in that last sentence. His GPS is telling him that his ETA is. I was like, who talks like that? If you'd spoken to anyone 100 years ago like that, they would have chopped your head off. I said, what are you talking about? Speak like English, the language we all agreed, right?
Yeah, I do find myself Googling, what is DTP in marketing?
Yes. I know you need to know these things.
Yeah.
And people just use them. Look at this quickly. Oh, I hate corporate speak. Okay, corporate speak is the worst. And there is a lot of that nonsense in the world. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Just read this. If this doesn't boil your blood and infuriate you like it did me, then there's something wrong with you. You're obviously so deep into corporate culture that you don't understand anymore. Take a look at this. Talk about dumb acronyms. Let's circle back and blue sky this paradigm shift by leveraging our bandwidth to drill down on the low-hanging fruit, but only if we can move the needle without boiling the ocean. At the end of the day, I hate that so much, at the end of the day, and South Africans use it all the time. At the end of the day, as Nas used to say, we need to disrupt the synergy of our core competencies and pivot the deliverables into a thought leadership ecosystem that aligns with our key performance indicators. If we can get all stakeholders to buy in and touch base asynchronously, we'll have the secret sauce to parachute this initiative into a high-octane, game-changing deep dive that maximizes our ROI on the bleeding edge of the value proposition.
Okay, I think I'm in deep because that sounded like English to me. Because that's how much it is used around me.
You actually understood all of that?
Yeah, I knew what it meant.
Yes, that's a lot of shit, though.
It's a lot.
Huh?
A lot. KPIs and ROI.
Oh, my. I mean, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. Anyway, if you talk like that, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed. Also, learn to use language that ordinary people use, okay? You're out of touch. You're in touch in your corporate little job, but you're out of touch with humanity. And also, that's the kind of stuff that we were talking with Hanan about earlier that will drive you into depression. Don't talk like that, please. Okay, so apparently we have, in the last 3 months, 5,000 abductions, kidnappings in this country alone. I had no idea we had such a big kidnapping problem. First of all, how come if 5,000 people are being abducted in 3 months in this country, how come it isn't a bigger story? Mm. I mean, this is clearly a very, very bad thing. And clearly it's affecting a lot of people. 5,000 people being abducted, that's thousands of families who will be affected by this. How is this happening? And we're not aware of it every single day.
Yeah.
And people aren't thinking, oh my God, I could be abducted tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who are the victims? Like, for God's sake, give me some context for this, Leanne.
No, it's crazy. I mean, we do pick up on it about a KZN businessman being kidnapped. Usually businessmen, people with money, but we're not hearing of 5,000 of them within 3 months. And this is actually a very good article written by IOL in conjunction with Mike Borlase, who we know is at the scene, at the forefront of,
Of course he is.
Kidnappings.
And Mike Borlase is the guy who looks like, well, let's just put it this way. You're not going to mess with him.
No, it's kind of like the Terminator.
He looks like, he looks like the villain in a superhero movie.
In the meantime, he's the hero.
He's actually the hero. Yeah. Okay. We must get him in here one morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So tell me.
So 5 years ago, 1,919 people were kidnapped over 3 months. Fast forward to today, and it's 4,748 during the same time frame. Apparently, our national police minister has acknowledged this problem.
Yeah.
They know that it's escalating into a major problem. I can go through the stats, but they're just self-explanatory. Obviously, Gauteng has the highest number. Surprisingly, in second place is KZN. And then, you know, going down the chain. But
sure.
He has broken up into a document on why there's been this increase in kidnappings, right? Yeah. So according to Borlase, several factors contribute to the rise in kidnappings. Number one, economic hardship.
Okay.
Obviously, kidnapping, you know, you can make money off of it by demanding a ransom. Number two, organized crime. Again, kidnapping for ransom for organized crime syndicates, where in particular wealthy families are targeted. Political and social instability. This is down to weak governance, corruption, inadequate law enforcement. Human trafficking is a big one.
Yeah.
Some kidnappings are linked to human trafficking networks. Copycat crimes, media coverage of high-profile kidnappings can inspire copycat crimes by other criminals. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why we don't hear about it that much. You know, the media has to also...
They have to be careful about reporting on it.
Careful about over-reporting on things. And then a weak judicial system because perpetrators believe that they won't be caught up in and, you know, put behind bars.
Okay, but do we know who are most at risk here? I mean, when it comes to like sex trafficking, it's obviously girls.
Yes. Right?
And these would be younger girls. I mean, I was going to like abduct an old bag to take her into sex trafficking. But who are the main targets for these things? You say wealthy people, obviously.
In South Africa, it's business
people.
But
we don't have extremely wealthy people. There are obviously a couple of them, but they probably have protection and security. Like you can't believe. Like here's Carl, who says, well-off Muslims and Portuguese people are being kidnapped. Mm. It's crazy. These poorer butchers and bottle store owners are huge targets.
Yeah.
Really?
So, I mean, if you think about how small people who perpetrate these crimes, how small their communities are, in their tiny community where they live and try to survive, somebody like a bottle store owner is a big deal. That's like the rich person in the community. So it's all about perspective, really. So it's not necessarily people targeting families who have decades worth of millions.
Okay, so in other words, you just have to be rich compared to everyone else.
Yes, yeah.
Holy hell. It's unbelievable. So apparently, we've normalized a lot of things, says Mapelo. Crime is one of those things, even this type of crime. I think that's a good point. South African criminals are learning from Brazil, says Clint. Easy money, stealing people for moolah, typical third world things. So as you said, also economic pressure, right?
Mm.
And our company literally insures us for kidnapping, says Azalea. There are places we cannot live or visit without prior consent. It's crazy. So obviously this means you've got to be aware. It's like, you know, when hijacking was the most prevalent crime in South Africa, we all had to learn to be observant all the time. To
put
pay
your bag
attention.
In the boot.
Yeah, to pay attention at the traffic lights, to pay attention at stop streets, to not slow down at night if you could see an intersection was quiet and you didn't want to stop as a, you know, a woman on your own. So now we have to develop a whole new set of skills, in the words of Liam Neeson from Taken, which make us aware of imminent danger, in a, imminent danger in our immediate environment. Mm. I think this must be something that we teach people. That I don't often think about kidnapping, but no, after this, I'm probably going to.
We all know someone who's been hijacked. We all know someone who's had a house break in while they were there.
Right.
But I don't know anyone who's been kidnapped.
I don't either.
And these stats are rising, and maybe soon we will. I mean, I remember when it was quite shocking to see on a road sign that had been made, printed or whatever, manufactured to say hijacking hotspot. It's like, that's crazy. Surely it took more effort to put the sign together and to figure out why there's so many hijackers here.
So we
and
do
this
we
could
know
be eventually a kidnapping hotspot.
Can you imagine? I wonder how we can put steps into place that will just make us more aware and more vigilant for this kind of thing. Because this does worry me. Who are the kidnappers, says Hugh? Does anyone know? Are they Nigerian doctors and engineers? No.
There are some syndicates, big organized crime syndicates.
Some of these butchers are loaded. One of my clients could sell 3 tons of boerewors over a weekend, and it's all cash money. No, he's being serious,
no,
says
it's
Gary.
So true.
Carl says, yep, on the Portuguese community forums, there have been loads in the last few months. One guy was returned yesterday after about 3 weeks. I would never have thought we'd get to the point where a butcher would be the target of a kidnapping syndicate.
Yeah.
And clearly this is something that's going on. I keep mace in my door well, and I don't mean pepper spray. I mean a medieval club.
Jeez.
Says Congo
spikes
Chris.
On the ball.
Yeah. Bitcoin Boot says at the age of 3, I almost got abducted in KZN. They wanted to use my bits for Muti, but gave me back after they saw there was very little to work with. Today, they won't think twice with my 3 legs. All right. So Bitcoin Boot found an appropriate way to boast about the size of his genitalia. Some people get kidnapped by the butchers for mints, says Mapela.
Oh, no.
Stop it. Stop with the lies. Okay, well, thanks, Leanne. Now you made us all paranoid.
Well, Mike Borlase does have some tips on how you can safeguard yourself.
I'm all ears. Bring it on.
Okay. Personal safety measures. Avoid high-risk areas. How do we know where these areas are?
Oh, exactly.
They're
Tell
areas
us,
with
God
high
sake.
Crime rates.
Okay, so
avoid
don't
traveling
go into,
them
don't
at
drive
night.
Into Rosettenville at night. Okay, that would be a good start.
Vary your routine is very important. We've always known this from house robberies.
Yes.
Change up your routines to avoid being predictable.
Right.
Stay alert. Be aware of your surroundings and avoid distractions like using your phone in public. Travel in groups, whether you're walking or driving.
Mm-hmm.
Secure your home, CCTV, etc., to deter potential kidnappers. Vehicle safety, lock your doors, keep your doors locked and windows rolled up. Check your surroundings before entering or exiting your vehicle and avoid stopping in isolated areas. And of course, there's financial and digital security as well. He has 2 points on that. Limit sharing personal information. This is sharing personal information about your wealth, your lifestyle.
Yeah,
on
but
social
people,
media.
People are so stupid, right? They post stuff about how rich they are on social media. You dummy. You're asking for these kidnappers to pay attention to you. Stop. Just stop. You're an idiot. No one cares how rich you are.
And then use secure communication. So be cautious about discussing sensitive matters like your finances over the phone or online, because we are being monitored.
Wow. Okay. A whole new thing to be scared of.
Damn.
Apparently, Veronica says one of the kidnaps happened here in Brits. It was the fellow business partners of that person. Good people to be in business with, those. This is common sense, ass, says Signet. So obviously, Signet agreeing with you. Makes sense. Okay. And Uncle Duncan's Shack is back with the fear of very unpleasant punishment discourages crime. We know what that means. Yeah, you see, I mean, also in this country, our police just don't have the investigative power that they once had. And our criminal justice system is not set up to actually make people afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, all you need to do is go and see what our prisons are like to know that it's not worth getting into them. But for most people on the outside, that's not a consideration. So we maybe need to make the punishment for this kind of thing a lot harsher. I mean, if someone, I would sort this out if I were in charge of the justice system, which again, you can thank your lucky stars I'm not. I would be a horrific, monstrous minister of justice and whatever other powers I would need to be able to enact the kinds of medieval shit that's going on in my head. But I would find kidnappers and cut off limbs. So you would know when you're shopping next to a guy at Pick and Pay because he had one arm, you'd know that he was a kidnapper. It would advertise to everyone that that person had been convicted of kidnapping and that their hand or their arm or some part of them that was visible had gone, that they were the sort of person who'd partaken in that kind of crime. And therefore the rest of us, and I know it's brutal and it's medieval and it's to some people uncivilized, but kidnapping people is uncivilized and brutal and medieval. So we need to make appropriate punishments happen.
I'm sure banks would be incredibly aware of this happening because, you know, you've got to get hold of vast amounts of cash in a short amount of time through your bank.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to hear their standpoint.
Well, I mean, we can surely, because all money is digital now, right?
Mm.
I mean, most transactions occur digitally. So you can follow the money to accounts, and as much as they move it to the next account and the next account, there should be a paper trail, a digital signature. This stuff should not be difficult to track, especially if it's large amounts of money. It should be flagged on all kinds of systems. So how are you going to get your money unless it's in cash in a duffel bag, in which case you still have to be able to get that cash from somewhere? We must be able to trace these. And then you find out what the destination of the money is and you go after those people. How hard can it be? You just need a couple of good forensic detectives who have training in, you know, being able to trace money on digital platforms, and you should be able to find it quite easily. So there's nowhere to hide for these guys. There's less places to hide. Gareth, I've been saying this for years now, bring back public pillories. Yeah, again, like put someone who's a rapist, for example, put them in stocks in the center of town and let all the angry women on Instagram and Twitter who've had bad relationships come and throw fruit at these oaks. Really, I don't see a problem with that. They're not going to die from being put in the stocks, okay? And if they did, they're a rapist anyways, and no one's going to miss them. But these are the kinds of punishments that have worked for thousands of years. They are discouraging to those people who are thinking of doing bad things, because who the hell wants to end up naked in the stocks in the middle of Johannesburg with passers-by throwing rotten fruit at them? No one. That's shameful and embarrassing in a way that prison isn't.
Yeah, you see, the way things are at the moment, kidnappers are getting away with it. Think about their first kidnapping, getting away with it, and the rush that you get when you receive that money.
And then you think, I'll do this again. Of course, it gives you the best dopamine hit of all.
Yeah.
Bring back the unalived penalty. I don't know what that is, Matthew, but it sounds scary as hell.
Death penalty.
The unalived penalty.
So because you can't say the word death on a lot of platforms, otherwise your
this means this video is screwed.
Yeah, so you call it unaliving.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm not familiar with these rules. I still speak like a human. Chris says, our organized crime is more powerful than our government. It's been that way for a while now. There's no political will to fix it because most of the politicians are complicit. Yeah, that's probably true. If poorer veggie shop owners can ensure a supply of up-to-date potatoes, they can also reduce their risks, says Signet. Okay, Cully says, you should also tattoo his face to say that he's a kidnapper. Otherwise, people will think everyone with one arm is a kidnapper. Well, just look after your arms. Just look after your arms.
Look, there's a kidnapper. Meantime, shame. She was like, meanwhile, she lost her arm in a bistro factory.
Or he's just a poorer butcher who cut it off on the slip saw.
Of the knife.
Yeah. That's why they target people dealing in cash. Okay, maybe. I don't know about that. And then here we've got Mapelo saying, Dave says those women will throw more than fruit. The Arabs chop your hands off when you steal. Well, there is a form of Sharia law, which, correct, Bitcoin but has a lot of these very ancient punishments tied into. Sponkuhle says that was the reason behind South Africa's grey listing. They say our banking system lacks strong enough controls to identify such activities. I don't know how that's possible. We are so ahead of everyone else in terms of online, internet, and app banking. Like, we've got a very, very first world system. There are places in America where people still write checks on paper and then go to the bank with a check, and then the bank moves your money because of a piece of paper with a signature on it.
Compare that to the speed of which we can move rands and cents between our accounts.
I mean, I can pay people on an app.
Yeah.
And it's faster than anything that the bank could have. Even if you phoned in the old days. I was talking to someone about this over the weekend. You used to phone your banker or your bank manager if you had like a really big transaction to do. And there was an actual, there was a person, there was a man.
Yes.
And the man would like literally move money from here to here with lots of papers. It's unnecessary now.
We only knew our bank balance once a month when we got a statement in the post.
Yes, and you
the rest
needed
of the
to...
time we were keeping little notes in our book, and you know,
yeah, correct.
The check counterfoils would help us calculate how much we were spending.
Anyone who's listening to us now, like a check? What the hell's a check? There might also be a link for people working within the banks selling information to would-be kidnappers, as they do have access to how liquid people are. I have no doubt, Steve, that there are crooked people in the banking system, but I think it's more opportunistic than people would imagine. You know, everybody has this fear that organized crime is really organized and that they know everything. And often they don't. They just see an opportunity and they take advantage in that moment. So a lot of these criminals are not, they're not just, hoping that something will happen that will give them an opportunity to steal from you or to commit some heinous crime. Often they just stumble upon these things and then they go, okay, well, this is something I'm going to take advantage of because they're bad people already. It's not as if it's a planned, plotted Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
It's, most of these guys are not that clever. They're really not.
Sure.
And the ones that pull it off, a lot of luck and adrenaline.
Mm.
As you said earlier, it's like this high. I think it should, I should be made corrections minister, says Congo Chris. I have some creative ideas for dealing with crime. I'm telling you now, if we had to implement a couple of, and I know that, you know, there are going to be human rights and constitutional lawyers who'll say, oh, no, this is completely wrong. And I get it. It's probably never going to happen. But I do believe a couple of creative punishments, like putting Congo Chris in charge of correctional services, a couple of creative punishments with him in place there, it would immediately stop a lot of these problems. Really.
Mm.
Because I don't care what the lawyers and the academics tell you. Actually, putting people off doing crime is a big category, okay, and it could do a lot of good. Most of the people who commit crime do it because they think they won't get caught.
Yeah.
And if you can put them off of doing something really heinous by showing them what happens to someone else who did that, they'll think twice, three times. They might not even do it. And that would be a good reason to at least try some of these more creative punishments.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're getting stuck in this. So that's something scary that I didn't know about this morning that we now know about. Another thing that you have to think about is kidnapping. All right. There's a new Netflix drama called Adolescence.
Mm.
And apparently it's got this incredible one-shot technique, which you got to tell us about. Did I tell you that I watched a new series? Last week I spoke about it here. It's called Barbarians.
Oh, yes.
It's in German and Latin, and it's set in the early first century.
Okay.
pretty amazing. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I've watched both seasons already. Can't believe that I've gone through both and that there isn't more for me to watch.
Yeah.
And I love these history series. So that's my vibe. But this adolescence, what is this all about? Because I did get into, remember what you told me about Euphoria all those years ago.
Did I?
Like, yeah, it's about, what, 4 years ago now that that was out? Three, 4 years? Euphoria, that was the one with, what's her name, Zendaya?
Oh, no, I don't think it was me.
I think it was you. Mm-mm. Okay, anyway, I watched that, enjoyed that. Pretty wild. Is adolescence in that sort of lane?
So
I don't know anything about this show.
Okay, it's a short series, but it has 4 episodes. Each episode is, I think, over an hour long. Each episode is shot in one shot.
Oh, you mean they do one take?
There's one take. There's no cutting.
Oh.
There is no time for venues to change or anything like that. So basically what would happen is before an episode, there would be weeks of rehearsal. So they've had to, the actors and the crew have had to practice this as if it's a theatrical production that's running live.
Okay.
So it starts off, if you'll see, it starts off with 2 people in a car, right? And that camera never changes. It follows them using either drones or something attached to the car, follows them to the next, you know, place where the action's going to be.
And they never go cut.
No. Everyone else has had to have set up at that point, and the cameras come in as if it's been live all along.
So how is this useful to the audience? Because we don't really give a shit how the sausage is made.
So the effect that it has is that it creates this feeling of you can't take your eyes off of it. There's never a moment for your mind to shut off where there's a change of scenery for you to be able to go, okay, oh, let me go and do this now. You can't stop watching
it. So edge of your seat stuff.
Yeah. It feels like you're there. It feels very real. And it can feel quite claustrophobic at times. You know, sometimes when you want to get out of the room or escape a situation, stop watching for a bit, you can't do that. It draws you in. It's unbelievable.
And what's the basic idea of the story?
So the plot line is a 13-year-old boy who's accused of stabbing a girl to death.
I don't think I'll watch this. Is that the kid?
Yeah. And it's the psychology behind him, etc. I think it's so brilliantly shot. So that little kid, by the way.
Yeah.
I think one of that scene where he's sitting with the psychologist, that is about 35 minutes of him just talking to her.
Oh God, that sounds exhausting.
But like at one point his throat gets dry and he actually says, my throat's getting dry. There's stuff that's woven in there into the plot.
It does sound naturally. Okay. I don't mean to poo-poo on your parade.
Yeah.
Okay. I think a lot of this is like actors and directors and cameramen and crew and people behind the scenes trying to do something different and interesting. And it's about them more than it is about the audience of the story. I hope not. I mean, I might be wrong.
It can be. I mean, this has been done before by the same director.
I don't give a shit about them pretending or how they do their pretending. Like, I don't care how the thing is made. I really don't. I don't want to know about how many liters of water they had to spray on the ground in order to create the effect of whatever. I'm not interested. For that moment, I want to be completely pulled into the story. I want to think this is real. I don't give a shit how many cameramen there are or that it's one take. I don't care. That's not interesting to me at all. I know Hollywood will be congratulating itself on doing something like this. And it's just incredible. And the guy's throat got so dry. Oh, poor him. This actor's really suffering. I get it. Mm. I know why they'd be impressed with that.
I'm
not impressed with this.
I didn't understand the concept until I started watching it. And then I understood the concept. And you understand how much actually goes into it. They did a whole high school evacuation, which had to have been coordinated down to the second.
Yeah, but what are the stakes here? So your pretend make-believe show won't come out exactly the way that you want. You might have to do it again. There's no real cost to this. It's all ego. This is all just like,
yeah, I see.
You know what I mean?
It's
I hate to rain on everybody who's
in like
that
business.
It's like
when advertisers get together at an award ceremony.
Yes, and congratulate each other.
Yeah, and a lot of the times the consumer may not even remember. They might have remembered the good ad, but they don't remember what product it was for.
And nobody who's watching this show this morning cares that there are how many cameras do we have here? Four cameras, where they're positioned. I mean, it either looks good or it doesn't. And by the way, on that front, we're doing some cool things in the next few weeks, which I'm excited to reveal to you. But they'll happen anyway. And we're not going to stop with content or devote the entire show to a new look and feel.
Mm.
It'll just suddenly happen.
No, nice.
You know? I get it. Like, it's a craft.
It's a craft. You're very aware of the fact that it's one take. It does affect your viewing and your experience. It affects how tense you feel throughout the entire thing. It feels like you're there. And the other thing is that the acting is just amazing. That little kid is going to be a major star.
What's his name?
I can't remember his name. He's never been in anything that I know of.
Okay.
This is Stephen Graham who directs it. Apparently very similar to a series that he did before.
Oh, so it's only just premiered on Netflix now?
Yes, I've just finished watching it, yeah.
A child accused, everyone left to answer.
Owen Cooper.
Okay. All right, well, good for him.
And then Graham, what's the first actor?
Stephen Graham.
You would know him if you see his face. It's just amazing. So the actors don't have time to have like tears put in their eyes.
So they have to do it.
They have to actually become emotional.
Okay, so
they
have to act.
There's no, can you look a little bit more?
Yeah, it's good. It's like, oh, it's the pressure. Now I have to really act. Okay, all right.
No, I thought it was quite amazing. Okay. I haven't seen anything like it.
There are people who are digging cobalt out of mines this morning who might be listening to us a little bit later on today when they get a 5-minute break going, geez, these actors really suffer for their craft. Eh? Must be so tough to be an actor. Oh, anyway, I watched over the weekend, someone brought up a couple of weeks ago, the Princess Bride, that movie from the 80s.
Is it a children's movie?
It kind of was.
Yeah, I don't really watch those.
So, yeah, okay. So, like, I don't watch the true crime shit you watch.
Yeah,
but I watched The Princess Bride, which is awesome. It's just like a really good story, you know, rescuing the princess, you know, fighting, all that kind of stuff. It's a bit sort of medieval. Anyway, I watched the whole thing, and Andre the Giant is in it. You remember Andre the Giant?
I don't.
Okay, see if you can find a picture of Andre the Giant for Leanne.
Is he in any of the Bond films?
No, apparently, I don't know if he was in the Bond films, but you'll recognize him when you see a picture of him just now. But apparently, while they were filming The Princess Bride, Rob Reiner, who's the director, was standing, getting ready for a shot or whatever, and this is what made me think of it, because I watched it the other day. Apparently, during one of the scenes, Andre the Giant let off like a 2-minute fart.
Oh my God.
He farted for 2 minutes and everything on the set was just brought to a standstill. Because this big fuck, there he is. There's Andre the Giant on the right. Imagine that guy farting for two
That's so
minutes.
Gross.
Okay. That's fantastic.
So is he a giant in real life?
He's a real, well, I don't think he's alive anymore. I'm not sure, but he died in 93. There we go. Okay, so there's Andre the Giant, a 2-minute long fart.
Oh my God.
Find this for you quickly, because this is actually fascinating. I don't have the fart, but, you know, close. He was a French professional wrestler. He died in 93, but he was an actor as well, and they asked him to be in this movie, and he was big and strong. I mean, like, he was absolutely enormous. Look at the size of him.
Oh, wow.
That guy could fart.
Oh, that's so gross.
I know. Anyway, his surname was Rusimov. And apparently he weighed, this is amazing. I mean, he was born in France, the son of immigrants. His father was Bulgarian, his mother Polish. And he had two older siblings and two younger. But he had like gigantism, right?
A big head, a big body.
It was all proportionate, but he was much bigger than everyone else. So he was about 6 kilograms as a child. Sorry, at birth, he weighed six kilograms. That poor mother of his. Imagine having a child that's 6 kilograms heavy at birth. Abnormally long hands. His mother was 5'2" and his father was 6'2". But he...
I'm 5'2", so you can imagine.
His grandfather was 7'8". That's a monster. But by the time he was 12, he was already 6'3".
Jeez.
A big guy. Anyway, I just found it fascinating that in this movie... And he was actually pretty good. Like, he wasn't an actor by profession. He'd been in wrestling and the rest of it. But he did a pretty good job of this. And it's a cute movie. You know who was the princess was Robin Wright.
Oh, yes.
Remember her? Oh, so that was quite cool. Anyway, thought that would be fun for you to know. Andre the Giant's 2-minute farts. We've really kept today minimally laboratory. I think we've done a pretty good job of it. All right, here's some other stuff that you need to know this morning. Apparently, a Swiss politician, a guy called Marc Jaisli, was fined 6,500 francs, which is about 133,000 rand. Do you know what he did? He bought pink water pistols online. You know those plastic?
And now he's been fined because of that?
Yeah. Authorities deemed it a violation of the country's weapons law. Despite their bright color, prosecutors argued the toys could be mistaken for real firearms.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy had purchased them as gifts. He admitted he was unaware of the rule, but accepted and paid the fine. I mean, my God, Europe, you are so embarrassing. We were talking earlier about how Ursula von der Leyen was here in the country doing some shitty deal with Cyril Ramaphosa that no one should be excited about, by the way. This is why Europe is a disaster. Like, you have to pay 133,000 rand fine for two pink, luminous pink water pistols because some idiot somewhere in Europe might think that they're a real weapon because it's been so long since anyone in Europe actually saw a real weapon. Do you really think this is the solution to your problem? Like, these guys are so stupid. I'm telling you, this is some dumb law that was enacted by a bunch of beta males and a bunch of women who don't like the idea of weapons. And now someone can be fined 133,000 rand for buying pink water pistols. That is disgraceful.
It's ludicrous.
Right?
I mean, what if it was for like, so if you have a private party.
It's unbelievable. And
a pool party and you want pink water pistols for your party.
Right.
You can't buy those.
No, 133,000 rand fine in the amazingly first world alpine country of Switzerland, which, by the way, is a country where everyone is in, you're meant to have a real weapon because they have conscription. They have a national conscription where every man of 18 or older is expected to come to the defense of Switzerland should there be an invasion. So there are actual weapons in safes all over Switzerland. But God help you if you order plastic water pistols. There is no logic left. Common sense has left the building, right? Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
Apparently, police in Tennessee are searching for four suspects who used two pythons to distract a cashier while stealing $400 worth of CBD oil from a petrol station.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, in the world of stupid, there's just no final...
How much? $400 worth?
Yeah, of CBD oil.
Oh, my gosh.
So they've got CCTV footage. We've got the video. We'll show it to you now. Shows a man and a woman at the counter using the snakes to divert attention before taking the items and fleeing in a black saloon car with a bungee-corded boot. The footage was shared by 731 Crime Stoppers who called out the suspects online. Take a look at this. This is unbelievable.
Well, Crime Stoppers needs your help. According to investigators, on March 4th, two females and two males who had two ball pythons stole CBD oil valued at $400 from the Citgo on Highway 154. They left in a small four-door sedan with drive-out tag and a trunk tied with bungee cords. Now, if you recognize any of these people, you can call Crime Stoppers. The number is 731-424-8477, or you can use their mobile P3 app.
Oh. I don't know.
You see the tors on the strings in their heads.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
First of all, this is not a well-thought-out plan.
If they were aiming, which is a really low target, to get $400 worth of CBD oil and they pulled it off, then that's fine. But it's quite an elaborate plot to just get away with that.
Considering what they were stealing, these two must have been high, okay? So they were high. They probably came up with the plan while they were high. They're like, I know, let's use snakes and put the snakes on a counter and then the guy behind the counter is going to give us money. We going to steal his CBD oil.
Yeah, they probably saw somewhere how much you can get, you know, they can sell it for. Probably saw it being sold for much more than what it was in that store. Oh, my gosh, stupidity.
Okay, but you've got a story about the Swiss, because
we spoke about them.
I mentioned how dumb it is that this guy was arrested. Well, he was arrested, and then he had to pay a fine for pink water pistols. But the Swiss, you know, we always think they're efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they're smart.
Don't get anything wrong.
Mm. And we were talking about banking earlier.
Yeah.
And the Swiss are, you know, famous as a country. Some of the first bankers were in Switzerland.
Yes.
But they also are stupid sometimes, as already evidenced by the story about the water pistols, but also this.
Yeah, they do make mistakes.
So what happened?
So the Swiss government were very excited to order a plush new business jet for the government.
Oh.
It was time.
Okay.
They decided to. So they.
What were they tired out. Of using horse and cart?
No, they just had like this really little jet. And, you know, these things become older over time.
Sure.
So they had their eye on the Bombardier Global 7500 business jet.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
And so they bought that for a cool $117 million.
That's that one there.
That's that one there.
All right.
Very proud.
What are those, the government people in the front there?
Yes. I see just the one lady, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm expected to see more women, but no, not really.
I see a whole bunch of people who can't own water pistols. That's what I see, you pussies.
Run by party poopers.
Yeah. That woman's probably the one in charge. She's like, you are not allowed any water pistols or anything that looks like a gun. And they're all like, yes, ma'am. Sure, ma'am. No problem, ma'am.
So it's quite interesting in that picture. You can see that the jet fits quite nicely into that hangar.
Yes.
That's because they had to take it to an airport 40 minutes away from its original destination.
Oh, no.
Because it was too big for the hangar at the airport. Not only that, but it's too big for the runway.
Oh, no.
So somehow this was so not thought out.
All right. So this is like when we ordered those trains that are too big for the tracks.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Our government's so stupid, they will not be outdone. I'm not going to let the Swiss get away with being the only dumb government. Remember when our government, they bought trains from the Spanish, I think, and then the gauge of the wheels was different to the tracks that we have in South Africa.
Mm.
And nobody thought to measure. Nobody thought to take a tape measure and actually get the measurements correct.
Measure twice, buy once.
Correct. But we are still sitting with trains. I think they're still sitting somewhere in South Africa, and they don't fit on our tracks.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's a mistake that I would make very easily. But when you're in an entire government and your whole like symbol is efficiency...
Well, the Swiss, yeah. I mean, the Swiss do, they trade on being efficient.
Yes.
And, super precision. Smart. Yeah. Pünktlich und tuchtig und dichtig und genau.
Yes.
But clearly not.
So now, in order to take this, use this jet, you've got to drive a whole lot of kilometers and then go to another airport.
Well, stupid has a price.
And it also can't land at certain airports that they're used to landing at. It's just really a total
so embarrassing. Stupid them. All right. And then apparently there's a whole thing going on. The last little bit of news for the morning. This is trending on Twitter. You know, GOM music, right?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently there's an event in Cape Town called GOM Therapy, which was celebrated for its immersive music experience. Attendees appreciated the event's authenticity, particularly due to its phoneless policy, which encouraged living in the moment. Discussions online have highlighted the event's success and the unique atmosphere it fostered, with many expressing a desire for more such experiences. Well, I'm here to help. So if you would like to have more experiences where you don't use your phone, what you do is you switch off your phone like this, power it off.
To turn off your iPhone, press and hold.
How fucking incredible is that? Look at that. Now, I don't have to use my phone. You know what I can carry on doing? Living in the moment. Isn't this fantastic, Leanne? I've just helped you to have a GOM therapy experience right in the comfort of your own home. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to get drunk or high.
But
you don't have to listen to any kind of music.
The whole idea is that you're supposed to be doing it at the same time and with other people.
So then all of you switch your phones off at the same time with other people. Isn't this amazing, guys? Aren't I a genius? Huh? I know. Isn't this wonderful? So for all those people who've only just realized now that true happiness, as we were talking to Dr. Hanan about earlier, comes from the pursuing of a goal, not from attaining the goal, you don't need to go to some music festival and switch your phone off in order to feel happy and connected to other people. You can do it as part of your daily life every day. You know what? It would be amazing if you did this, for starters, when you're sitting around the dinner table with people. It's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not the Pope. No one's phoning you to solve deep theological problems that might disconnect humans from God. So you can switch your phone off occasionally. And you know what? Even though there may be emergencies, because everyone's always like, oh, I've got to have my phone in case there's an emergency, but you're just a mom of one kid with big fucking thick glasses who's at school. Whatever happens, there are going to be adults around, other adults, who will make sure that little Timmy or whatever his name is doesn't walk into a wall or whatever he's prone to do when mom's not on speed dial. He'll be okay. You're not the president of the United States. Like, international trade's not going to break down if you don't have your iPhone with you. It's amazing how unimportant you actually are. It's amazing how unimportant I am.
But it's also amazing how much communication that should be kept to emails, for instance, or within the office is actually put out on WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah.
And you're expected to just be in the loop.
Well,
the whole time.
You know what's nice? Sometimes you switch that shit off. Do it. Let's all take that public holiday that's coming up, Human Rights Day, the 21st, Friday. Let's take that day and switch our phones off. Live in the moment, like this festival in Cape Town suddenly taught a whole lot of people who didn't realize this was possible. Like, you guys, it's awesome. We can all do this every single day. And you know what? It'll be amazing. Just don't do it while you're listening to or watching this show.
Yeah, very important.
Right? Otherwise, you would have missed out on that.
And then how would you know?
Exactly. I'll tell you something. We've been around longer than GOM music, right, Leanne?
Yeah.
All right, that's enough from us for this morning. You happy with that? Okay, right, good. Sorry there was no Lion Tamer, but he got stuck in traffic and he will be here for next time's show.
Nice.
We have a show for you on Wednesday between 6 and 8, as usual, and then not on Friday because, as I mentioned already, there's a pubic holiday on Friday.
Yay.
All right, so have a happy time. Ciao, everybody. Bye.
Oh!